And a very good morning to you all. Dr. Maura Finn joins us from the Ennis Family Medical Centre. Dr. Finn, good morning to you.
Good morning and happy new year to everyone.
And many happy returns. Thank you very much for joining us. Are you as busy as all the GPs that were complaining in the paper yesterday?
I'm delighted to be out of the surgery for an hour. Oh God, honestly, it's really, really busy and really very sick people out there. So,
is it flu?
Yeah, a lot of flu. Really, the week between Christmas and New Year's when I saw it hit first, and some very sick people, and you know, and some very sick kids, and so like, look, it's inevitable. It happens every year, but it does seem to be particularly nasty flu that's hit. A lot of really nasty chest infections as well. So the thing is, though, with flu, you know, we can't do an awful lot. So
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, you're going to send me home and go to bed basically for a week.
Oh, yeah, but some people do get complications of it, and then if you have kind of underlying illnesses, then you maybe do need to present, or if you've got very bad chest symptoms with it, it is important to check you. But most of them we can't do an awful lot with, and you know, like, we can see the whole overcrowding thing that's happening in the hospital, and it's so predictable every year. We're in the throes of it now.
We talked about it a bit yesterday, and you and I have talked about it before, so I won't labour the point, but look after yourself, stay warm, get the flu jab.
One hot meal a day at least, and especially if you're elderly, make sure that somebody, you know, that there's somebody calling to you, have the house warm. Take it easy if you can, rest as much as you can, and it will pass. But there are, in extreme situations, there are antiviral treatments. There's a treatment called Tamiflu, which we use for flu symptoms, but we need to start it early, and so it isn't useful for everybody. But most people, it's exactly just what you said.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move on and talk about something else, which we often talk about at this time of the year. And quitting smoking will be, I was going to say it's a habit for many, or a resolution rather for many, but probably because of the number of smokers declining, maybe not so many as was once the case. But still, for some, this is an opportunity for them to kick the habit. Why should they do that?
Well, I mean, God, there's multiple reasons. Like, there's an exhaustive list of diseases that are linked to smoking. I mean, one in two, people know the statistics. I'll give the bad news in a brief, because most people know this, but it's no harm to be reminded. Like, one in two smokers die of tobacco-related illness. Like, that is pretty dramatic when you think about it. So there's obviously all the lung-related illnesses. Then there's the heart-related illnesses, because smoking affects your cardiovascular system, so it really increases your risk of stroke and heart attack. It also affects your stomach. It gives a lot of people get ulcers as a result of it. Psychological symptoms associated with it. There's numerous. There's so many. But the good news is, and this is what I always like to stress, because, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are smoking and are think, oh God, I've been smoking so long. What's the point? Have I done all this damage? Am I ever going to see the benefits of stopping? But there is actually pretty dramatic kind of information about, first of all, the withdrawal symptoms are at their peak after 24 hours. Okay, so that's a day. It's a miserable day, but it's a day. Mm. And then they kind of wane off over the next 2 or 3 weeks. So that's good. And the physical withdrawal, the real kind of physical symptoms, do pass in that length of time. And that's not a long amount of time in your lifetime.
I'll come back to that in a second.
Okay. But the benefits, within 20 minutes, your circulation improves. Within 3 days, your breathing and your chest lung capacity improves. Within 3 months, it has improved by 30%. That's really dramatic. And within a year, your risk of a heart attack is reduced by 50%. So, like, if you're 75 and you stop smoking, you're going to improve your risks.
I was going to say, even if you have been smoking 20 a day for the last 40 years,
absolutely,
those percentages.
So within 10 years of giving up, your risks of developing tobacco-related illness are the same as a non-smoker. Okay. So that's really important. And I think that's sometimes what the barrier that some people have is that they feel, God, what's the point? You know, I'm 60 now. You know, there is a lot of point. There's so many reasons, and the very simple things: you'll look better, you'll have more money, and you'll live longer. Okay. It's as simple as that. You know.
Okay, you talked about how the urge to smoke that will weaken quite quickly and it will fade away. But yet, you have so many people who will have tried to quit smoking 10, 20 times and never been able to do so. And often will have gotten over that difficult first day, as you've described it, but then after some period of time thereafter will have given in again. They might find that what you said there doesn't tally with their experiences.
Yeah, and I absolutely understand that and agree with it, but I'm talking about the physical symptom. What's happening in that situation is the psychological association with smoking. Because most people who smoke use it as a reward, or there's certain triggers that will actually make them smoke. So, you know, the reward thing would be, you know, you've finished work, you get into the car, you light a fag, you come home, or you have a cup of coffee, or you have a drink, you know, whatever it is, and it is your association with those trigger points and trigger times. Other people, you know, the kids are in bed, let's have a cigarette, you know, whatever it is. But so there's those associations. So they're very, very important, and you have to identify those. And then the other really important thing is you might have somebody who's off cigarettes for 6-7 months and something traumatic happens, some stressful situation happens, and it has always been their go-to and how they associate their dealing with stress, and they'll have a cigarette. Mm. So it's not physical, it's psychological. And that is a much, much more powerful problem than the physical one.
So I wonder, is there any way of combating that then?
There are. I mean, most people who try to give up smoking try between 4 and 7 times before they succeed. So I suppose it's really important to allow yourself to fail and to allow yourself to realise that there are these moments where you will be very, very vulnerable. I think the most important thing you say to people is that you have a distraction for the times that you know are your trigger points. So, you know, the times when you would normally have that reward cigarette, have something else that you will do. Something very, very simple, something very attainable.
Another
cheap.
Reward?
Possibly, yeah. Now, and I don't mean a chocolate biscuit. I'm talking, you know, maybe, you know, play a game on the phone. Do something, turn on the radio. I don't know what it is, but something that you know that you need to do instead of that, because that's your vulnerable time. So that's something that a lot of the helplines will help you with. There's an awful lot of help out there. And the other thing we know is that if you use a support group or helpline or quit.ie or one of these really good supports out there, that your chances of staying off the cigarettes are increased by four times. So it's really, really useful. So take the help that's out there. But they'll help you identify your danger points. But then also really recognise that if there is a stressful situation in your life, if something has happened, that that's your very vulnerable time. And Try and work around that.
Okay.
The intense craving for a cigarette, even years afterwards, if you feel an intense craving, that physical intensity is gone after 90 seconds. That's another thing that's actually really valuable if you know that. Like, so if you can reach out to something else.
To distract you for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
In terms then of, you talked about the supports, the groups, but the patches, the chewing gums, all those sorts of different things. What are your thoughts on those? What do you recommend?
Oh, I think they're really useful. They seem to increase your chances of quitting and staying off them. Nicotine replacement therapy is what we'd normally kind of go with first, and they're patches, chewing gum, the little inhaler things, all sorts of things like that. And they replace the nicotine that your body is withdrawing from. But like I said, the physical withdrawing is gone very quickly. So there is that element of, are you replacing one addiction for another? But if you do it in a proper way, and if you kind of phase it and you phase yourself off the nicotine replacement treatments, then that goes very well.
Is one more effective than the other in terms of patches versus gum?
No, it's really down to the individual. The patches tend to give you a 24-hour or sometimes 18-hour delivery system, so it's constant. But most people don't crave cigarettes all the time. They actually take them as they need them. So the gum or the inhaler or the lozenge, there's several different things out there, can be more useful, because for that intensity of the craving,
that
take
moment.
That for that moment, and for that trigger moment that you know is your danger point as well. But it depends, and some people combine them. They use a patch at background and they use something else as well.
Should you use those just based on your own, I'm going to try and quit smoking, I'm going to get my hands on these patches, gum, whatever, or do I need to go to my GP?
Some people will come and talk to GP about it, and it's very useful. You know, I've had a couple of people this week already, and they're just looking for advice. And there are prescription medications too, but they're, you know, they can have side effects and not necessarily what you would go with first line either. For people who've had repeated failures at giving up and have tried other things, we would maybe use that. But often it's go into your pharmacy actually and discuss with your pharmacist, who really understands the nicotine replacement, and they'll figure out the right system that might work for you. And then others just do cold turkey, you know, and that might work really well for them. So it really is very individual. But I do think, go on to the quit.ie website. I think it's really good, because it really kind of gives you advice that can be tailored towards you. And then they give you follow-up support, which is That's because, you know, the first day you're probably really determined. It's 2 weeks in that you're really struggling. You know?
it's the same with every resolution.
It is, isn't it?
I'm going to get fit, but, you know, the 23rd of January comes along, it's pouring rain, and it falls by the wayside. The e-cigarettes, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that, well, first of all, they can be really useful. I mean, there's no doubt that an e-cigarette or vaping for somebody who has been smoking 40 cigarettes a day can't be as dangerous as the cigarettes, you know, a packet of whatever,
lights,
whatever. But we also know that they're full of chemicals that aren't regulated, and we don't know what they do for you and what they can do to you. My bigger concern is the fact that they normalise and possibly even glamorise smoking. And you were talking about the figures actually improving, but it's actually quite distressing that actually the figures for 15 to 18-year-olds are rising. And I wonder if some of that is because of the vaping culture that's developed within our adolescence. And you see lads going around town and they've got an e-cigarette, you know, and you're, why? You know, and they're developing an addiction towards nicotine through the e-cigarette. They may never have smoked a cigarette or anything of that nature, but they have developed a habit around the e-cigarette. And so there is a problem with those in themselves. But as a substitute for like a very heavy smoking habit, I can see where they have a place.
Okay, so
I'm hedging my bets.
You're not recommending them or anything close to that?
No, I'm not recommending them at all. And I think actually the official line is that we shouldn't. But I do see that, you know, in the greater evils, and which is the more dangerous habit, maybe the cigarette compared to heavy smoking. But I can't understand, and I really think we should be worried about the number of adolescents who've started using e-cigarettes.
Yeah. And you see all the shops coming up and, you know.
It's big business as well. And apparently a lot of them have been, the business behind them are the farms, the tobacco companies, which would make you wonder as well. And they are normalising.
They're going to make their money
somehow. Yeah, but they're normalising smoking, and that's what we need to worry about, because over the last decade, we have actually, in Ireland, it has become something. You're a bit of a pariah if you do smoke, and certainly, you know, smoking indoors is, you know, I think that has become part of our culture now. But this has allowed the idea of having something in your hand and smoking to become normal again, or even glamorous, which is dangerous.
I should have said to our listeners, if you've got any questions, we're 086-1800-964 about smoking or anything else, do send them in to us. And maybe you at home as well can answer the question that I'm going to ask to Maura now. The thing about smoking, I think that would work, I've never smoked, so this doesn't apply to me, but in other things that I have given up, that you kind of, I need a big goal to work towards. And I was just going to say, if what would work for me here would be putting the money that I otherwise would have spent, putting it away and treating myself for something extravagant or whatever it might be. Do you need something like that, or are there other things like that you know that have worked?
I think that's actually really, it's probably the most kind of visible goal as well. Most things that you do, you're not actually gaining money. You're often kind of spending money to start up a new resolution. But if you stop smoking, if you smoked 20 cigarettes a day, I don't know what the figures come up with, but it's thousands that you would gain at the end of the year. And you could have something very substantial, something very luxurious at the end of that. So that, I think, is a very tangible goal.
But it has to be individual. I mean,
And the other thing is that your health improvements, you will see that. That's what people, you know, I mean, obviously it's more gradual, but you will see it. You will see that your fitness levels improve, your chest clears, all that chronic nasal congestion you've had for years that you thought was something else will clear up. Your taste will improve. So even if you haven't got a kind of a goal that you've set aside, you will see goals yourself, and you will achieve them, which is really valuable.
Okay. If you've got questions, as I say, for Dr. Maura Finn, please do send them in to us, 086 1800 964.